Everybody jazzed up.
Yes, sir.
It's always an honor for me to be in this pulpit. And I want you to know that you guys all have the open arms, the open hearts, and welcome us into this congregation with such love. We want you to know we appreciate that. This morning we're going to talk about, is God in control? And it brings to mind a couple of songs, or one song that we sing. Now I'll ask you, we sing a song, Our God is Alive. If I ask the question, most of you would probably raise your hand and say, yeah, he's alive. If I ask the question, is God in control? Probably most of you would raise your hands and say, yeah. And my question back is, then why don't we believe that? We seem to want to do everything ourselves. So, we talk about, you know, things that are going on in the world today. Politics are a mess. Most of us will agree with that. Inflation is taking a toll. Inflation is something that, I mean, it's hard to deal with. People want more money for their salaries, then you're going to pay more money for goods. It's just simple economics. But it's taking a toll. Especially on the lower class people. We have family issues. We have health issues. We have job issues. And the list goes on and on and on. If you're feeling on edge, or worried, or anxious, you certainly are not alone. Uncertainty quickly leads to fear, and fear will erode at our faith. Fear can be powerful. It dominates us sometimes. In fact, fear is one of Satan's most used tactics to get us to doubt God. We have the power to overcome anxiety and fear with God's promises. Despite what we feel, we need to remind ourselves that God is indeed in control. When everything around us feels out of control, we can allow Scripture to prove to us that God has been, is, and will be sovereign over our lives and our world. He is our peace and our comfort. Now, with all that in mind, I want to go to some Scriptures. We're going to start with a couple of Scriptures in the Old Testament because it lays a foundation to show that God is in control. And we have things that we can say, we have things that we can do, but ultimately, it's God in control. And before I get into the Scriptures, I'll make one more statement. We see throughout the Scriptures, and in the Old Testament especially, there were good leaders, there were bad leaders, there was good governments, there was bad governments. But if you look at the Scriptures and you really study them, God is the one that put them in. All right? We have the same thing going on in this country, the same thing going on in India. It doesn't matter what country you look at. Solomon said, nothing has changed under the sun. Same thing was going on in first century church, first century world is going on today. Things were going on previous to Christ dying on the cross are still going on today. Nothing changes, including God. I want to go to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 to start with. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. If y'all want to follow along in your Bibles, that's fine. If you want to just sit back and listen and just jot them down and search them back when you get home, that's fine too. 8 and 9 reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts more than your thoughts." Now, we've heard this, we've used it, we maybe have quoted it. What does it mean? Tonight, if you really want to know what it means, go outside, look up in the sky, and see if you can see the last star that's in this universe. That's how far above us God's ways are. We have no clue. We have no understanding what his thoughts are. Now we can grow a better understanding by studying, by attending Bible studies and worship and all these things. But ultimately, we have no idea what God's thoughts are. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. It's been said, if you want God to laugh, tell him what you got planned for tomorrow. My ways are not your ways. I look at him and I say, thanks. I don't want your ways to be my ways. But I want to look to you for the right way. For as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far above my ways are above yours. So if we have some kind of an understanding, the depth of this, it helps us more understand when we talk about God being in control. Because he does things we don't understand. He doesn't want us to understand. We're not supposed to understand. And he tells us right here, that's because my ways are so far above yours, you're never going to understand. Just trust him. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 8. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. Johnny's older than you, buddy. I'm 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and their land, when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give to them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. A whole lot of verses here. The key to it is, in verse 8, he will be with you. God is always with us. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. So, knowing that and believing that, why do we fear and why do we be dismayed of what goes on? I don't know. Human nature? Because maybe our faith isn't as strong as it needs to be. Maybe because our fear overcomes us. Maybe Satan's still working in us a little bit. I don't know the answer to that. Only you would know that. But I do know this, he won't leave you and he won't forsake you. It's right here in the scriptures. Psalm 23. Psalm 23 reads this way. The Lord is my shepherd. Key point. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. There's nothing here that says you lead yourself. God's in control of your life. He leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. He leads me down the path of righteousness. Psalm 76. Psalm 76, verse 26. 73, excuse me. Right book, wrong chapter. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart fail. Amen. We can all sit in that chair. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Other translations will read rock forever. Read that again. My flesh and my heart fail. Understand that. We're not perfect. We're going to fall. We're going to have times where we have doubt. We're going to have times where we have fear. Okay? I understand that, you all do too. Well, here it says, my flesh and heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. He's always there. We just saw in Deuteronomy. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. We have to work on that to get rid of these fears, to get rid of these anxieties that we have. He restores my soul. He'll lead me in the path of righteousness. If we let him. We talked in class this morning. God's given us all the ability to make a choice. If we choose Satan, that's our choice. If we choose God, that's our choice. But you got to be all in. Matthew tells us we can't serve two masters. You can't serve Satan and God at the same time. It doesn't work. Because pretty soon you're in Satan's hands. My flesh, my heart fail, God is my strength. Psalm 125. Psalms has a lot to say when it comes to God and the power he has and how he works with us. Psalm 125. Take note of the first statement. Those who trust in God. The word their trust. Or what? They're like Mount Zion. Mount Zion cannot be moved and abides forever. Alright? So those who trust in the Lord are like that mount. You can't be moved and you will abide forever. As the mountains around Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. From this time forth, and for how long? Forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. The Lord surrounds his people. He's got his big arms around us. From this time to this time and forever. Never leave us, but never forsake us. He leads us in the path of righteousness. Are you starting to see where God's in control of this whole thing? Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 15. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into our hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. God does it, that men should fear before him. That which he has already been and what is to be has already been, and God requires an account of what is past. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. God does it. End of story, right? It also says in that passage to rejoice and do good. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to do good. He wants you to prosper. And especially when it comes to his kingdom and his word. Whatever God does, it's forever. And whatever God does, it's forever. It can't be added to it. It can't be subtracted from it. So why do we come in with, I think? Why do we come in with things in our own lives that we want to control when it's God that ultimately is in control of it? Now we're going to take a couple in the New Testament. I told the guys at South Valley what I did is, I can't get away from doing something out of Philippians, just in my nature. So we're going to go to Philippians 4, 6 and 7. One of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. If y'all don't lean on this passage, there's something wrong in your life. Paul very plainly states in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Paul really loves the people in Philippi. It's one of his favorite churches. You can see in his letters, the language that he uses. And he says here in verse 6, this is instruction to us. Be anxious for nothing. We don't need to go on from there, do we? But for some reason, we're all anxious about something. And as I started this sermon off, we get anxious about family issues, job issues, health issues, inflation woes, politic woes, the whole nine yards. We get all anxious over all that. Well, we're seeing God's in control of all of it. What's our problem? Because it doesn't go our way. God's ways are above ours as the heavens are above the earth. We have to know that. We have to appreciate that. Be anxious for nothing. All right, so how do you not be anxious? But in everything, by prayer and supplication. You got a problem? Go to God. Talk to him, put it on his shoulders. Get rid of the anxiousness and the anxiety. No reason to carry it. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Sounds to me like that's a command. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You got family issues? Talk to God. You got health issues? Talk to God. Political issues? Talk to God. He's the one that's going to be the ultimate disciple. We think we do what we want, and we do things. But ultimately, it's God that's using. Elections, yes, we want. Part of our civic duty, part of duty as far as scriptures are concerned. And we do what we can in our own lives. We do health issues, we go to the doctor, we do all the things that we can do. But ultimately, it's all in God's hands. Why do we go to God in prayer for those that are on sick lists? Because it's ultimately in his hands. We can do what we can do, but sometimes, most times, it's all in God's hands. So it says, be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. If you do that, and the peace of God, now here again, this is like his thoughts above the heavens and earth. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding We can enter peace. But there's still little qualms in us though, butterflies, if you will. That total peace of God is above all understanding. But that's what guards your hearts and your minds, and it's done through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. John 14:27, I think that's in the bulletin today. John 14:27. You probably can all quote that. I probably don't even need to turn to it. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. This is Jesus. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Why don't we believe Paul and Jesus when they're telling us that? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now we're back to the fear we talked about in the Old Testament. Paul says in Philippians, go to God in prayer. Get rid of it. A question I have is, even to myself, why don't we do that? Because we try to fix it on our own. Hebrews 4:11. We all know this one also. Hebrews 11:1-4. We're going to end up here. This sermon's a little shorter than normal, but it's concise, it's to the point. And I want to end this with Hebrews 11:1-4. And he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. All right? And the evidence of things not seen. That's where our faith lies. We hope for heaven. We don't see God. We see what he does. We see everything around us. But that faith that we have is the substance of things hoped for. That's the hope within us. And the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And then in verse 4 it says, by faith, just one example here, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. We can't do what we've talked about in the rest of this sermon if we don't have any faith. Or if our faith is weak. We can't do what we've talked about. We can't lay everything over to God. Because we don't have the strong enough faith to say, okay, God, you handle it. I'm out of the picture. Because we don't want to lose control, and we think we can do it ourselves. God is in control. We have to have faith. How do you get faith? Being in worship. Being in Bible studies. Being in studies at home through the week. You know, I've often asked the question, how can we survive in our worldly life with one meal a week? All you're going to do is sit down Sunday morning and have a meal. The rest of the week you're not going to eat. How do you survive? You can't. So the question is, we come together on Sunday morning, we go 1 hour to worship service, and then the Bible's closed, go on the shelf and go about our business the rest of the week. How do we survive our Christian life with no food? If you've got no food, you're going to have no faith. If you've got no faith, you're still going to try to run everything, and God's going to sit in the bushes. It doesn't work that way. Through study, we gain knowledge. Through study, we gain an understanding of who God is and what he can do. No other way to understand God. And the wisdom that comes along with that, our faith grows stronger. The stronger our faith is, the more we can put things on God's shoulder. I'll end here. Contrary to what some think, we are not in control. God is. We saw it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. Paul's told us what to do. John's told us what to do. That's how you get rid of it. That's how you lay everything back into God where it belongs, because he's the one in control. The lesson's yours. Sometimes life's tough. Sometimes it's not easy to do what scriptures say. But the stronger your faith gets, the easier it'll be to do it. We issued an invitation this morning for those that may not be a part of the Lord's kingdom. If you're not, and if you would like to be, and you think that you need to be on the same side of the situation and need to be baptized, we would welcome that opportunity this morning to do that. We also are here that if you are having issues in your life, some maybe what we talked about, and you need some help, you need some strength from additional prayer, this congregation knows prayer works. We know prayer works. So if you have any kind of an issue, let it be made known. Evan's gonna, we're going to lead a song of invitation. And if you have anything, let us know. Amen.